Australia's natural disaster becomes an economic disaster.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson in for Steve Chiatakis with the global perspective, a look at what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. In northeastern Australia this morning, military aircraft dropped supplies to towns cut off by floods. 200,000 people have been affected by waters covering an area larger than Texas and Montana combined. For more, let's bring in Stuart Cohen in Sydney. Hi, Stuart.
Hello, Jeremy. Good morning.
Good morning. So what's going on right now?
Well, right now, the remnants of Tropical Cyclone Tasha have dumped torrential rain on parts of Queensland and New South Wales. Some areas have received nearly a foot of rain over a 24-hour period. There was one town that was particularly bad off. They were cut off by the flooding, but their water treatment plant was damaged, and they had just a few days' supply of drinking water. So it was very much a real case of water, water everywhere, but barely a drop to drink.
Water, water everywhere, and what is the economic impact of all of this?
Well, the country's farmers, particularly the grain farmers, have been the hardest hit. Just a year ago, many farmers were barely getting by as their fields were withering away in a more than decade-long drought. When the rains finally came, which they did a few months ago with a change of weather pattern, everyone breathed a sigh of relief. A lot of farmers went to the banks borrowing money so they could do some heavier-than-usual planting. They were expecting a bumper crop. Well, they got it, but unfortunately, most of those fields are underwater now, and of course, there are predictions of rising food prices in the cities as a result.
Now, are the farmers, Stuart, the only ones taking a hit from all this flooding?
No, not at all. The mining industry, which is the country's biggest income earner, has also been affected. Queensland is also a big source of coal for export to China, and rail lines, access roads, and even some mines themselves have been flooded out. And all in all, the damage bill from the flooding is going to run into the billions, and that's in Australian dollars, which are worth more than greenbacks these days. But of course, that's a story for another day.
Indeed it is. Stuart Cohen in Sydney. I know you're off to celebrate the New Year in just about an hour from now. So happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.
Well, when the clock strikes midnight tonight in Estonia, that country will become the 17th using the euro currency. And at midnight here in the U.S., it'll be 65 years since the first baby boomer was born. That means it'll be time for the boomers to start getting Medicare benefits. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Over the next two decades, the number of Medicare recipients is expected to double to about 80 million. Tim McBride teaches public health at Washington University in St. Louis.
I don't think we as a country have faced that issue straight on yet.
Jonathan Oberlander agrees. He's a professor at UNC Chapel Hill.
There's no doubt that there are going to be serious challenges in financing it and serious challenges in controlling its health care spending.
The new health care reform law created the Independent Payment Advisory Board to come up with new ways to control Medicare spending. Oberlander says that's still not enough. Medicare is going to need more money, and the cost of care has to go down.
I think if we don't get a hold of healthcare costs more generally in the U.S. healthcare system, it's probably going to limit how successful Medicare can be.
If the cost of healthcare doesn't change, taxes would have to go up. And in this political climate, that'd be a pretty tough challenge. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across the globe right now. Shares of Borders bookstore fell 15% in after-hours trading. The nation's second-largest bookseller is delaying payments to some of its suppliers because it's having a hard time refinancing its debt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 15 points to close at 11,569.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies.
So, have you found a date for tonight? If you haven't already found a New Year's honey, you might consider a dating website. Marketplace's Sean Cole has the story now of a consultant who helps those looking for love on the net.
My friend Kathleen Goldhar has been internet dating for a few years now. She's a journalist living in Toronto, and her dating profile starts like this.
I'm looking for someone who has a cynical bone in their body but still loves the act of living. I'd like to meet somebody who sees past the BS, but in a good way and has a
Kathleen's had some success online, but right now she's still single. So I had her read her profile to Kate Houston, a marketing expert in Vancouver who hires herself out as a kind of dating site Cyrano de Bergerac. Here's part of what she said to Kathleen.
Your first paragraph is all about what you want. And from an advertising point of view, you're not telling me why I should be attracted to you.
The operative phrase here being from an advertising point of view. Houston's been in traditional advertising for about 20 years. And about a year and a half ago, she decided to apply her skills to the online dating world.
Because I was online dating and I kept in my mind correcting everybody and thinking, why didn't he just put that sentence up there?
And thus, a business was born. For $20, she'll give you tips on transforming your profile. For $80, she'll just write the thing for you, as she has for more than 100 clients so far.
You need to do more than just write your profile. You have to market yourself in your profile.
What's the difference?
The difference is that you know what to pick, where to put it, you know your market, you know your environment.
Just like if you were selling toothpaste. In fact, Houston says writing profiles isn't too different from her other work.
I'm always considering the competition. I'm always writing in a way that will attract the end user.
And that tries to target the right demographic, which is a lesson that my buddy Kathleen needed to hear.
You know, I sometimes worry, do I scare guys off because I sound too smart? Do I sound too hard-ass?
Actually, may I address something there?
Sure.
That's actually a really good marketing technique. It's important to turn some people off.
In order to turn the right people on. Kathleen took Houston's advice, and it's helped. She successfully marketed herself to a very cute graphic designer. In Toronto, I'm Sean Cole for Marketplace.
And finally, according to two web tracking firms, Facebook is now the most popular place on the internet, even more popular than Google. Also on the list of the top 10, Yahoo, YouTube makes sense, and MSN.com, which only makes sense when you think about the number of people who never change their default browser settings. And if you didn't get that joke, you might just be one of those people with MSN.com as your homepage. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. From all of us at Marketplace, have a happy and safe new year. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Mailboxes are stuffed this time of year with charity requests, but the economic and environmental costs can add up.
The vast majority of people don't even open the envelopes, so it really is a tragedy.
I'm Bob Moon, the value of direct mail, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.